Please be seated, and as you're seated, if you would take your Bibles or the Pew Bible in front of you and turn to the passage read for us, Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 38. I love beginning the Advent season with O Come, O Come Emmanuel. And I remember as a child thinking, wait a second, why do we keep saying, shall come to you, when Christ has already come? And that's the beauty of that hymn, is because Advent is not only for the celebration of his first coming, but because of his first coming and the promise fulfilled, as we'll see to Anna and Simeon today, we look forward to the promise of his second coming, and we prepare our hearts for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as we celebrate his first coming. You can almost hear Anna and Simeon singing that same hymn. They could have, because all of the references are all of the Old Testament. That the baby that they saw that day was the one who came on Mount Sinai with a thunder and cloud and trumpet and smoke and fire. How amazing that must have been for them. And so, as the scriptures have already been read for us, let me pray for us as we continue. Father, would you now add your blessing not only to the reading but to the preaching of your holy word? It is your word, and what a fearful thing to seek to open one's mouth, to proclaim it, and to preach it, and to exposit it and expose it. What a fearful thing to sit under it and to have our hearts exposed by the exposed word of God, that we might see and hear anew the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed in it, that we may be transformed, that we may be awoken, that we may be brought from death unto life eternal, that we may be prepared, that we may wake to deeper anticipation of your second coming. So do all of that in us this day, Holy Spirit, as you take your word, which you have promised will not return void, but will bring forth the purpose for which you sent it forth. Unwrap your word for each heart today. Awaken, revive, renew, refresh, and make us a thankful and a joyful people for having been here. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love Psalm 46, and that's why I chose it for our call to worship, because in Psalm 46, we see not only the proclamation of the gospel, but we actually see what Anna and Simeon were doing in order to prepare their hearts for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 46, it embodies the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It begins with this wonderful and glorious truth that God is for us. And what a wonderful thing for us to hold on to in days of profound confusion and profound darkness and profound fear at times. That the God of Jacob is with us and he is for us. And that was a cry of Israel's heart as they sang Psalm 46 as part of the hymnody of Israel. And then it speaks about poignantly about the world in which we live, which is full of turmoil and raging. It speaks about the sin of man's heart displayed in all the world. And yet it speaks of God's sovereign presence with his people in the midst of the crazy sinfulness of this world, as a stream running forth from the city of God, spoken of in Revelation chapter 21. A theme that will continue throughout the scriptures, that God is within her. God's with us at this very moment. And there's a stream that makes glad the heart of God's people. In the midst of the chaos, there is peace because of the cross of Jesus Christ. It speaks of God building his kingdom in the midst of this raging, tottering nations that are at battle and at war against each other. And throughout it, there's this refrain, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. And in the midst of all of that, as we ponder the reality of the world in which we live, as we ponder our own sin, as we ponder the sins of others committed against us that still bring profound pain to our heart, as we ponder the realities of our nation and as our world and the wars that are all around, as we ponder all of these realities, God, through the psalmist, invites us this Advent season. No, he commands us. There's a difference. An invitation is, well, if you want to, you can come. You can come to my house for dinner if you want to. That's an invitation. A command is, come! It's a command by Almighty God. But the command is, be still. Stop. Ceasing from all your work that you are trying to do in order to gain God's favor, in order to find greater joy, in order to do all of those things. Be still. Stop. Cease. Be still. And know that I am God. And this morning, as we live in this world of great turmoil, where nations are raging against each other and kingdoms are falling and tottering, there is this sense of stillness that we find in this passage. And we see it in the coming of the Prince of Peace entering into the sinful world on that first Advent or that first Christmas. But most in the midst of their torrid Christmas celebrations, often not knowing what they're celebrating. Their celebrations filled with twinkling lights, they'll miss the true light that shone in the darkness that first Christmas. That light which John proclaims is the life of man. Among the mountains of presence, they will miss his presence. And as they unwrap their gifts, they will fail to unwrap God's greatest gift of love for them. Among all of the busyness and the sounds and the sights of Christmas, they will miss the miracle of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger who is God himself incarnate. And that is a fear for you and I, that we too will be robbed of the joy of what Christ brought to us that first Christmas. Well, on that day when Mary and Joseph came with the baby Jesus into the temple to offer a sacrifice, this is now about a month later. This is not Jesus' circumcision. That's already happened. But this is a month later. This is for Mary's cleansing after her birth in accordance with the book of law in Leviticus. They are now coming to offer a sacrifice for Mary's cleansing according to the word of God. And Mary and Joseph come with the baby Jesus into the temple to offer their sacrifices. And there must have been hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in Jerusalem and even in the temple courts that day. And all of them were too busy to notice. Some may have even said, oh, cute baby. Like we say in the grocery store when we see a parent holding their baby, oh, cute baby. But they failed to see, except these two frail old people. What made Anna and Simeon different, and how they can serve us as we celebrate the first coming and prepare for the second coming of Christmas, is how they were prepared for this first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's three simple things I want us to see in this passage for them, and then we'll see them in reverse for us. First of all, I want you to see their celebration. Secondly, I want you to see the anticipation of their hearts. And third, I want you to see the preparation that led to the anticipation that led to the celebration. Because that's the reverse order in which we now are going to enter into this this Advent season as we celebrate Christ's first coming and anticipate his second. And so I want you to notice a couple things that are happening here. Notice their celebration first and foremost. For Anna and Simeon, their celebration at seeing Jesus was much anticipated. It had been 700 years since Isaiah had said that a virgin shall give birth. It had been over 400 years since Micah had prophesied that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Twice the age of our nation, just to put it into some context. That's a long time. A long time of waiting. And yet on that day in the temple, Anna and Simeon saw with their own eyes the wonder of God's promise fulfilled. And their celebration reflects their anticipation and their preparation. First, I just want you to notice a couple of things about their celebration. Notice that as they see it, it is a Christ-centered celebration. After all, that is what they were waiting for. And as they were waiting, and as the Lord had prepared their hearts, their celebration is reflective of that truth. It is, I have seen your salvation. That's an amazing phrase in and of itself, isn't it? I have seen your salvation. Salvation is a work, but it comes through a person. I have seen your salvation. And they rejoice in this Christ-centered celebration. And so our celebrations at Christmas, I pray your celebrations are far more than just the lights and the tinsel and all the trappings. I pray this Christmas that your celebration would be a Christ-centered celebration. Notice that their celebration is also informed by the Word of God. God had actually spoken to them. God had told Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. And so they were immersed in the Word of God, and our celebrations must come from being informed by the Word of God. Third, their celebrations were led by the Holy Spirit. Notice that both of them entered the temple led by the Holy Spirit, being drawn to that place where they would see the Christ child. If we are not led by the Spirit of God, we will miss lots. But Anna and Simeon had learned to live by the Spirit and to listen to the Spirit and to follow the urgings of the Spirit that brought them to that moment in time and space where they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, their celebrations were full of thanksgiving for what God had done and what God was doing. They proclaimed it to everybody. They were so excited. Simeon's like, I can finally die. Not that he was looking forward to death necessarily, but he was an old man. And he could truly now rest in peace. It's interesting, my third and fourth grade Sunday school class, we're going through the book of Mark, and we studied this passage in Mark chapter 8. Where Jesus asks his disciples this important question, who do people say that I am? And the answers are right there. The disciples say, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, which would mean that he had come back from the dead. Some say that you're Elijah, who is to come before the coming of Christ. And some say that you're one of the prophets. And then Jesus points to them and says, who do you, my followers, who do you say that I am? And of course, Peter makes that glorious confession. You are the Christ. And in another gospel account, Jesus continues and says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but God. In other words, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting that just prior to this passage, Jesus has healed a blind man. And it took Jesus 2 times to heal the blind man. He puts mud on his eyes, and the man looks up, and Jesus says, what do you see? And he says, I see people, but they look like trees. In other words, I can't really discern them. I know they're people, but they look like trees. And then Jesus does it again. He puts mud on his eyes again, and he says, now what do you see? He says, I see clearly now. See, many are the people in Anna's day, and many are the people today, who have a partial, warped understanding of who Jesus is. See, the miracle shows us what Jesus was about to teach. People had this partial understanding, this confused understanding of who Jesus was. But Peter and the disciples understood with more clarity who Jesus was. And following that passage, Jesus says, yes, the Son of Man is going to be led to Jerusalem. He's going to be beaten by the Jews, and he's going to be crucified. And Peter doesn't really have a full understanding. That's never going to happen, he says. It's just never going to happen. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. How wonderful for Anna and Simeon that they saw with profound clarity what others could only see as a baby. They were able to see through the lens of the Spirit of God the wonder and the amazement of God coming to earth as a baby. See, as you come into this passage, as you come into the Christmas story, I would encourage you to walk through it this Christmas season and notice the ironies. So let's just look at a couple ironies here. Mary, as I said, is coming to fulfill what is written in Leviticus, I believe, 19, that says that a woman, after giving birth, had to wait a month to have a sacrifice for cleansing. And during that time, according to the Old Testament law, she could touch nothing holy. Do you see the irony? Here she is, unclean, and she's been playing with the Son of God. The most holy of holy people, God and man. She has been feeding him and cleaning him and washing him and playing with him and holding him close to her heart. She who was so unclean that she could not touch anything unclean is holding the Son of God. Mary is coming to make a sacrifice for her cleansing. And we recognize that they were probably very poor. And the reason that they were, we know that is because they went to the lower end of the offering, 2 turtle doves. She's bringing 2 turtle doves as she holds the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is this that Anna and Simeon beheld. Anna and Simeon that day behold the very glory of God in the face of the Christ child. That glory which resided on the other side of the curtain there in the temple, and now it's on this side of the curtain, and it is flesh and blood, because through his death that curtain will be torn. And everyone can enter into his very presence and behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder that they rejoiced with great thanksgiving and spoke of the Christ child to all who were awaiting the coming of him? And beloved, don't let your celebrations be like those who are spiritually blind or can only partially see. Instead, come to the stable. Come in amazement. Come with wonder and awe and celebrate the God of eternity wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. And then there's this anticipation that they have. See, long waits can often kill our anticipation. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis puts it this way: Narnia is under a curse, and what's the phrase? It is always winter and never Christmas. This long wait now has come to fruition for Anna and Simeon as they joyously celebrate and are informed. Their celebration is informed by their anticipation how God's promise would be fulfilled. Simeon had, the anticipation had been heightened by the fact that the Spirit said, "You will not die until you see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Anna, along with those who knew her, eagerly were looking for the consolation of Israel. In other words, the coming of the Messiah. They were anticipating greatly. They didn't know when, they didn't know how, they didn't know where. You wonder if they went often into Jerusalem and saw the parades of dignitaries who would come, and maybe they would recognize one of those coming on a white horse. I wonder if they were profoundly amazed, but also a little confused. Wow, a baby. A simple little baby. But you can almost, their anticipation is palpable. Now how amazing as we look to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be in quiet. There will be a trumpet sound that will be heard throughout the earth. And Christ will descend. And Revelation talks of him riding on a white horse with a belt around his waist that is truth, and a sash around him, and on his thighs is faithful and true. And he will come as a warrior king, and we will rejoice to see his coming. But Christmas, in some ways, is all about anticipation, isn't it? We sing, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and children anticipate what presents they're going to get, what presents they will open on Christmas morning. And with each decoration that goes up and each carol that's sung, the heart grows with more and more excitement as that day approaches. But anticipation can easily be quenched or quelled. Even the anticipation of our coming celebrations in our hearts that God became flesh, that wonder and amazement can be silenced by the noise of the season. That which is intended to heighten our anticipation can actually kill it. By the sights and the sounds of the season that are intended to celebrate can now actually take away our anticipation. So that by the time Christmas comes, we're like, oh good, thank goodness it's over. Instead of actually being there and sitting in wonder and in awe. Sorrow can quench anticipation. Christmases can often be a sad time for many, especially those who have felt the searing pain of loss in the past years. Maybe best described by that Christmas song that rose in the midst of the Civil War, written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. He writes in the middle of this, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the sun. of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Written as his son was near death after being hurt in a civil war battle. But the Christian must know that we live between Christmases, the first one and the eternal Christmas that will never end. And as such, no singular Christmas between can ever be satisfying. It's an anticipation, not simply from Christmas to Christmas, but of that final Christmas day that will come, and no one will have to leave, and no one will go home, and we will be in the presence of Jesus forever and ever and ever. So if you're sad this Christmas season, as many of us often are, know that your sadness, the tears that you shed for lost loved ones, can be turned to joy with the anticipation that Christ is coming and he will make all things new. And then finally, we turn to the preparation, because anticipation can be killed, but anticipation can also grow with proper preparation. And we see this here as Anna and Simeon have prepared their hearts for this moment. And this preparation for Anna has gone on possibly for over 80 years, as she has been in the temple courts. And she has been waiting for this moment, and so has Simeon. So what's the preparation that can help us? First of all, I want you to notice that they were devout and they were righteous. That's the description of both of them. Simeon, it says in verse 25, this man was righteous and devout, and they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, they were in Christ before they even knew Christ. They were people of faith. They were trusting and resting in God's promises, that God would fulfill his promises. And they were in faith as believers who walked by faith. And in that, God granted them that their faith would become sight as they looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We put up our Christmas tree yesterday, and the first present that will go under there is always the first present that goes under that tree every year. Grace made it. It's a little box wrapped, actually worse than her dad would wrap it. She was a little kid back then. And in that little box are three hearts with our children's names in it. And that goes under the Christmas tree. And I just praise God that that has been brought to flourishing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're not in Christ today, then Christmas is only going to be a moment in time in which you long for happiness but will never find it, until you find your rest and faith in Christ Jesus. So I would ask you, come to Christ and trust in him this Christmas season. But those of us, we're called to be devout. We're called to be in the Word. We're called to be in prayer. And we're called to be preparing our hearts, not only for our celebration of the first, but also our anticipation for the second. Are you walking in righteousness before the Lord? Is there sin in your life that blocks you from enjoying the fullness of all that God intends for you? May the Holy Spirit reveal that sin to your life, in your life, and may you confess it, repent of it, and turn to Christ. Then notice also that they were led by the Spirit, as we've also said. And I would ask you, Holy Spirit, would you lead me into your word? Would you lead me into the truth of all that your word has to say about Christmas, so that the sights and the sounds and all the confusion that our culture and our world brings to this celebration would be done away with, as the clarity of the word of God through the Spirit of God awakens my heart to the truth of his word. Be led by the Spirit in how you will serve others this Christmas season. Be led by the Spirit in how you will give this Christmas spirit. Be led by the Spirit continually. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. Also notice that not only were they devout and righteous, not only were they led by the Spirit, but they worshiped. They constantly, Anna was constantly in the temple of the Lord, and she was worshiping. And I would encourage you, be in the presence of God with the people of God. There is nothing more wonderful and nothing more edifying than worshiping God with his people. And I would encourage you, do not be simply on your own, but be present at all times that we're able to. So come to the Christmas party. It's not going to be a worship service, but it's going to be a worship service. Why? Because the people of God are gathered together to celebrate the holiness of God. So come and prepare your hearts through worship with God's people. Notice that Anna prayed constantly. And I would ask you to quiet your hearts, be still. And know that he has got quiet your hearts in prayer. Pray and ask the Lord to grow a growing anticipation for his second coming as you celebrate his first. So how do you prepare your hearts through prayer? Pray the character of God back to him. Pray the promises of God back to him that you read in scriptures, and pray them back to God and say, God, fulfill your promises to me and to my family, and allow the Spirit of God through prayer to grow your anticipation. And then finally, fast. I'm not sure what from. You know best. You know best what keeps your heart and mind cluttered, that you need to cease from in order to make room for Christ. Because all of us have it. The psalmist says, be still, cease, stop. Be still, and the result of being still is know that I am God. Ask yourself, what clutters your Christmas celebration? What clutters your preparation to meet the Christ child this Christmas? Some of you don't want to answer that question because it might be a profound sacrifice. It will be painful. It will be challenging. It will mean not wanting to do what your heart desires to do moment by moment by moment. But in that ceasing, you will find yourself making room and knowing that he is God in the midst of your quiet. It is hard to fast. It is hard to let go of that which we find ourselves sustained on day by day by day. Often, which actually kills our anticipation. Put it to the side and trust in God. Give it to God and ask him to take that from you. Not that it's bad, but give up the good for the better and for the best. Be still, be quiet, and know that he is God. One of our favorite goofy Christmas movies is Home Alone, where Kevin McAllister saves his family home from being robbed at Christmas. And I'm sure if you've seen it, you're all familiar with it from these two robbers. Satan wants to rob you. It's just that simple. He'll even tell you that he's going to do it. It's just that simple. And throughout the movie, Kevin has all these pranks that keep his family home from being robbed. Will you protect your time? Will you protect your heart? Satan will come, and he will. And it will be with bright lights, and it will be with tinsel, and it will be with fun things. And there's nothing wrong with those things. but he will seek to rob you. Don't let him rob you of the joy of the true meaning of Christmas, which is found in the face of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Let's pray. Father, prepare our hearts, we pray. Lord, each one of us know those areas, those things that we need to let go of. Sadly, Lord, many times what we let go of is the last thing we ought to let go of, and that's being in worship or being with God's people. Help us to focus on those times, to enjoy those, but in our times alone with you, would you, through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, release our hands and our hearts from those things that would keep us from being still and knowing that you are God. We ask for you to have that mercy upon us this Christmas season. Not simply as individuals and not simply as families, but as a family, a church family. Would you prepare our hearts to truly know that you are God and to celebrate you this Christmas season as we anticipate longing for your second coming to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.